the trends are clear and they're really alarming.
Hi there, it's WAMC News Director Ian Pickus. And on this episode of the WAMC News Podcast, a new report on the alarming spike in deaths from alcohol, drugs, and suicide. Deaths from alcohol misuse dropped by 6% in 2022. That's the good news. But overall, deaths from alcohol, drugs, and suicide in the U.S. increased by 142% from 2002 through 2022. That's according to a new report from the nonprofit Trust for America's Health, which calls the mortality rates alarmingly high. The report is Pain in the Nation 2024, the epidemic of alcohol, drug, and suicide deaths. Rhea Farberman is the Director of Strategic Communications and Policy Research and joins me now. Thank you for being here.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So the deaths that you looked at in this report are often called deaths of despair. Do we know what is driving them?
Well, I'd say that there's no one single factor, but some of the factors that we have looked at are families experiencing economic hardships, Americans reporting more loneliness and a sense of social isolation. There's also a growing body of data that links social media use by children and adolescents with increased levels of depression and anxiety within those groups.
Are there certain types of demographics who have it worse than others right now?
Well, the answer is yes, but it's important to remember that the drug overdose crisis, alcohol and abuse and suicide crisis is a phenomenon that's happening across the country in every state, every community. The numbers are up sharply over the last two decades, as you said, and it's a phenomenon that's happening everywhere. But it's not happening uniformly, that's correct. Typically, the highest rates of these deaths of despair are occurring in communities of color. The American Indian Alaska Native community has very high rates, unfortunately, of these deaths. The Black community has high rates. Death rates are high for alcohol, suicide, and drugs among males and among adults. Approximately age 32 to 54.
What about geographically? Are there states that are unfortunately outpacing others?
There are. Again, this is a phenomenon that's happening in every state, but there are certainly states that have the highest levels of such deaths. They are New Mexico is the highest in the country, West Virginia is second, and Alaska is third in the rates of these deaths.
To what extent are the issues with drugs looked at in this report related to opioids?
Well, opioids are a big problem, and fentanyl is a particular problem, and fentanyl drives most of the overdose deaths are related to fentanyl. That's one of the reasons why we advocate that fentanyl test strips need to be available in every community, and naloxone availability is also important. Naloxone is the overdose reversal medication. Opioids are a problem. Fentanyl is a particular problem.
How come, as I said in the introduction, alcohol misuse deaths have gone down recently, which is an outlier from a lot of the other data that is studied in this report?
Yeah, I'm glad you called it an outlier because it is. It's 1 year's worth of data, and we really need to focus on the fact that over two decades, the 142% increase since 2002, that's just an astronomical number, and we need to really focus on the fact that these rates are increasing. But you're right, alcohol deaths were down nationally for 2022. They were up in New York State, unfortunately. Some of the connection may be to the fact that we've come out of the COVID-19 public health emergency by 2022. Hopefully there was less social isolation. People were back to work or back to being able to meet friends and family. That may have helped. But again, the trend, what we want is multiple years of a downward trend in these data. So we have a lot more work to do. And in New York State, unfortunately, you didn't enjoy that 1 year's downward trend over in 2022. All three categories were up in the state, unfortunately, and over 10,000 people, New Yorkers, lost their lives due to alcohol, drugs, or suicide in 2022.
Hmm. Now, you mentioned the COVID-19 pandemic. It may be too early to really know the impact of those couple of years of disruption. But I'm wondering, when you see data on these deaths of despair, whether, you know, people are dying from drugs, alcohol, or suicide, to what extent are they linked to one's economic circumstances?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a fair statement. We certainly see economic hardship and as one of the reasons why people might lose hope and turn to substances to cope. There was, you know, we don't know for sure the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic, but there's certainly the fact that these types of deaths of despair, deaths increased in double digits in 2020 and 2021, certainly suggests a connection between the pandemic and these types of drug and alcohol deaths. We're now out of the pandemic, so we hope to see an improvement over 2022 and into future years. But to really enjoy those improvements, we need to invest in prevention programs. The good news is we have prevention programs. We have evidence-based programs that we know work. So what we need to make sure is that those programs are implemented in every community.
Can you say more about what you mean by those programs? What are we talking about?
Sure. We're talking about intervening in schools, for example. Schools are an excellent place to help young people gain coping skills, resilience skills. So every school should have a substance abuse prevention program, and every school should have mental health services available right in the school building. We talk about families undergoing economic hardship and the impact that might have. So programs that support families, like nutrition support programs and living wage programs, access to mental health services, access to health care is important. And I mentioned a few harm reduction programs, things like easy access to naloxone, easy access to fentanyl testing strips. And safe gun storage is also important. 53% of all suicides is by firearm. So if we can ensure that gun owners secure those firearms in the home, make sure that someone who shouldn't have access to a firearm doesn't have access, someone who might impulsively reach for a firearm can't do so, that's going to save lives as well.
Does the trust take a position on the hot button issue of supervised injection sites, overdose prevention centers, effectively safe places where, you know, drug users, intravenous drug users, opioid users can go and be monitored while using drugs in the hope that, number one, they won't overdose on the street somewhere, and number two, that might get them into some sort of continuum of care? Because that's an issue, especially here in the Northeast, that has bred a lot of disagreement.
Yeah, we don't have a position on that issue. We know that there's a lot of research being done, but we haven't taken a position one way or the other.
But do typically those practices work toward cutting down on the types of deaths that this study looks at?
I think we just need to look at more. We need more data before we can answer that question. So we're certainly supportive of more research. That's important. But we don't think there's enough data as of yet to really answer that question.
Okay. What about the 988 suicide crisis line? Is that making any sort of noticeable difference since it's been implemented recently?
Yes, the 988 is really a success story. The number of people reaching out to the 988 hotline versus the old 1-800 hotline is up exponentially. Many, many more people are being helped through the 988 system, and that's important. The 988 system is managed by states, so states need to really invest in those services. And 988 is going to continue to grow. And as it also adds more language services. It's even going to be more helpful to more people.
What else jumped out to you from what's included in this report and the data?
Well, the trends are clear and they're really alarming. The fact that we've had 142% increase in alcohol, drug, and suicide deaths since 2002 is shocking and calls for immediate attention. But the good news is we have prevention programs. We know that if we invest in prevention and making sure that communities are places where people can thrive, ensuring that people have access to mental health services and substance abuse prevention services, we can save lives. So it's really a question of paying attention to the data and investing in solutions.
I don't know if you want to answer this question, but it seems to me this has not been a front and center topic of conversation in American politics this election season. Do you want to see, you know, sort of national candidates talking more about the types of deaths of despair that we've been talking about the last few minutes?
Well, one of the purposes of our report is to alert policymakers at every level, from the local community through Congress, of the data on these issues and what can be done to address this crisis. So we hope that every policymaker at every level will be aware of the report, understand what's happening in their community or their state, and invest in the appropriate solutions.
That's Rhea Farberman from the nonprofit Trust for America's Health discussing Pain in the Nation 2024, the epidemic of alcohol, drug, and suicide deaths. Thank you very much for the research and taking some time to speak with us about it.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.
Okay, that does it for this episode of the WAMC News Podcast. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Ian Pickus.